Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
It is amazing how much better your arm movement has gotten since we had the original Dixie Darling on the show this week.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my elbows up here.
She taught you a lot. There's no question about it. Welcome to the Eagle Hour, everybody. Glad to have you with us on the Super Talk Radio Network this afternoon, online, wherever you're tuned in. We're broadcasting from the First Bank Studios in Laurel and Hattiesburg. And we are glad to be with you. Real quickly, a reminder, 2-hour special show tomorrow from Midtown. We just got off the phone with the one and only Big Nasty. He'll be joining us tomorrow. Reggie Collier on the show, Scott Berry on the show, Melissa Socher on the show, Justin Harris.
And in case you've been living in a cave or under a rock and don't know who Big Nasty is,
that would be Jim Carmody.
It would indeed.
All right, we've also got Brian Morrison in the studio with us today. It's so refreshing to have guests back in the studio, Brian. Brian is a senior associate athletic director for development, and we're glad to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Bob, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to be on.
Well, we always enjoy having you, talking to you. So primarily your job is fundraising for athletics at Southern Miss, and I'm curious to ask, I think all indications are we're beginning maybe to get this pandemic really behind us for change, and things are looking good in that front. But how tough has that been on your industry, and what kind of an effect has that had on your job in the last 18 months?
Yeah, no different, I think, than any industry. It obviously was a challenge, really forced you to reevaluate how you did everything, what you did, how you spent your resources. But you know, talking to colleagues across the country at other institutions, universities, Southern Miss is very fortunate. We've got a very passionate fan base, support through donors that really never stopped donating, Bob, even through the pandemic. You know, although we weren't face-to-face with them, phone calls, Zoom calls, things like that, we really, that group stayed with us and knew we needed the support, you know, more than ever, and stepped up to the plate, whether it be an additional donation, making their annual Eagle Club donation. And a lot of them, as you recall, you know, we had just started baseball season. We made it 2 weeks in and had to cancel it. And a lot of them said, don't refund me on my tickets. Just take it as a donation.
Right. We love baseball around here. I guess you know that.
Yeah, there's a few folks that like it.
Kelly brought up an interesting point to you off the air, and we'll get him involved here. But this is city tax. Explain that, Kelly.
This city of Hattiesburg had proposed a 1 penny increase in the hotel motel tax that went into effect a couple of years, that money and renovations needed at Reed Green Coliseum, and that's where this money would go. The tax is still in place, and we think it has to be renewed next year. That's a legislative process in order for that tax to keep coming. But Brian, can you give us an update as to how much money has been raised and where it has gone so far and where the next funds are scheduled to go?
Yeah, absolutely, Kelly. So, very appreciative of the city leadership and that, and the citizens of Hattiesburg that voted in that into effect. But over the last 3 years that it's been in effect, we've generated just for the Southern Miss side a little over $3 million, and then the other half goes to the city of Hattiesburg for parks and recreation.
And they've been able to increase the zoo and add some exhibits, among other things.
They have. I know a lot of city parks and sports fields, things like that, which has been great. So our portion, we have actually been just bankrolling it, sitting in an account to let it build up. And I think Jeremy McLean, when he was on last week, shared with y'all that we've engaged an architect, local architect in Mississippi, and are starting the planning phases of what we can do with the Coliseum, what needs to be done from an infrastructure standpoint, and then phasing it of what do we need to do first in order to enable the next renovation as well.
What would you like to see done with the basketball arena?
Yeah, I think probably the top of the thing on our list is making it fan-friendly. Making it wider concourses, you know, obviously the restrooms updated, giving it a real nice storefront off of 4th Street. You know, that's the main entrance, and right now you really don't know that's the main entrance. So I think upgrading those, you know, safety amenities, you know, in the seating bowl, and then as well as trying to really make it a multi-purpose facility where we can have concerts in there, where we can have, you know, Disney shows come in for kids, Christmas shows and that sort of thing. And so we've got quite a bit of work there for those companies that put on those productions to be able to get their equipment down onto the floor and make it easily accessible.
I bet you know this, and Kelly probably remembers. Luke's probably too young to remember, but I remember seeing some of the biggest rock bands in the country at Reed Green Coliseum when I was a student there.
Yeah, I unfortunately did not get to see any, but I've heard stories of
great
Willie Nelson. I mean, you name it, the acts that would come through here. And we're Hattiesburg situated in a great place to get some really good acts between New Orleans, and you got the coast with casinos, and Atlanta not being far.
I actually got to interview some members of CNC Music Factory who performed when their big hit "Things That Make You Go Hmm" was popular in the 80s. And they said,
"You want to sing a couple bars of that?" Well, never mind.
Well, and you know, Vanilla Fudge played here back in the, talk about psychedelic.
Really? No,
yeah,
they
sure did. Vanilla Fudge played back here in the late 1960s. But the management group of CNC Music Factory said they loved the venue, except, and what's most important to them is the acoustics. They said the acoustics at Reed Green were a nightmare. But again, it's built for to be a sports arena, so I'm guessing acoustics in that line. To get in line for some of these shows would be a top priority.
Yeah, acoustics, and then the rigging in the ceiling to be able to fly speakers, where if we have that in place, it cuts down significantly on the cost of the production company, because all they have to do is bring speakers and send them up. Right now they're having to bring in all that rigging in order to set them up, so that would help tremendously.
All right, Luke, get in here with Brian Morrison while we have him.
I don't know any of these bands or music groups
we
knew that you're talking
Luke.
About.
We knew that.
Luke, listened. You're not alone.
Yeah, so let's talk a little about homecoming. Big week. A lot of guys coming back in for it. And, you know, still we this week, even though UTEP is 4-1, we feel confident, you know, in at least for it to be a good game. Eagles got a chance to win. But what else is going on kind of around the football game that our listeners need to know about for homecoming this weekend?
Absolutely. Well, we've got, you know, Friday night at Spirit Park that the Alumni Association with Southern Station, and they've got a Friday night concert series in Pep Rally, so that'll be going on 6 o'clock on Friday. And then on Saturday, a whole host of things. I know a lot of the fraternities and sororities are hosting reunions and get-togethers that morning. And then we'll have the homecoming parade, which will have a route through campus this year, so it'll be neat. If you're on campus tailgating, you'll get a chance to see that parade. And then leading up 3 hours prior to kickoff, we'll have Driving and Crying playing a concert at Southern Station as well, and in that tailgating hub.
Actually, they're there because that's what UTEP is going to be doing after the game. Driving and Crying.
Couple minutes left. I'd like to get back to the basketball arena, because tell me if I'm right about this. Basketball can be a huge revenue generator for an athletic department. How important is renovating the Coliseum in your eyes and Jeremy's eyes to getting the basketball program to where it is generating that kind of revenue?
Absolutely. It's vital, and you're absolutely right. I mean, basketball can, you know, it's been great here. It can be great again, and I think we're on that path under Coach Ladner and Coach McNellis. I mean, both of them have been working extremely hard in this offseason. I know they're both practicing now, and I've had a chance to go by and catch practice of both of them, and I'm really excited about what these basketball season is going to look like. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, in order to – we were talking about it before coming on the air of just, you know, how spectators and fans, how their priorities have changed when going to a sporting event. You know, it's not just now they want to go be with 10,000 of their best friends, they want amenities. They want comfortable seating. They want to get in and out easy. They want premium concession stands. So we've got to do all those things where it's inviting for them to come and they have a good time. And they may not be a big basketball fan, but if we can get them there because it's a whole experience, you know, that helps.
Can you renovate it without giving them Wi-Fi, or is that just something that you just simply have to do in today's world?
Yeah, I think we're at that point in today's world that if we did not have Wi-Fi, we might not have many people there.
The thing you have to understand about basketball, too, is from an expense standpoint, and certainly I'm not trying to tell you, you straighten me out if I'm wrong here, Brian, but from an expense standpoint, basketball is very inexpensive to administer.
Yeah, you make a lot of money with basketball.
You have few scholarships, really, that you're giving out. Your travel expenses don't include 150 people, right? So it doesn't take a whole lot of money to make money on basketball because your expenses, your overhead is less.
It is, yeah. From that standpoint, you're right. I mean, we're not traveling, you know, 75 guys like we would on a football away trip. It is minimal. You know, one thing on basketball, you do travel a lot more than football. You can have multiple road games in a week, and so you've got flights and hotels and buses. But yeah, relatively speaking, you know, you're not buying shoulder pads and cleats and things like that. But you know, the one thing that's changed in basketball really the last couple of years is the NCAA allows you pretty much they can practice year round, and so we do need to provide those resources where they have that opportunity to practice year round. From a strength and conditioning standpoint, a nutrition standpoint. And so, you know, although the budget on the expense side may not seem as big as some of our other sports, we've got to continue putting resources in there to help them be successful.
My final question real quick as we're going into a break here, Brian. So when you give money to the university, I'm told by CPAs that if you give money to the Eagle Club, it is not deductible. But if you give it to the foundation, it is. And I don't think that's fair. Or that's right.
Do we have time, Bob? Are we going into
30 seconds? Okay. Go ahead.
So actually, I don't know where that information came from. Not true. So the Eagle Club is a part of the Athletic Foundation.
Okay.
And so if you give to the Eagle Club, it's going to the Athletic Foundation, a registered 501c3 and tax deductible.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you both. Appreciate all you do for us.
Brian Morrison, everybody. Senior Associate Athletic Director for Development. Next up, leading rusher in Southern Miss football history, Damian Fletcher on the show.
Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, I want to thank Brian Morrison for joining us in the opening segment of the show. Also, want to give our thanks to Dickie's Barbecue Pit for their sponsorship of the Eagle Hour. Great place to go this weekend for your tailgate. And the lady we love a lot, Miss Kathleen, down at the Campus Book Mart on Hardy Street, campusbookmart.net. We thank them both for all they do for the Eagle Hour and for Southern Miss Athletics and encourage you to do business with them. All right, I just love doing these kind of intros, guys. Our next guest, and give me just a minute to go down this. Our next guest in 2006 set a school record and conference record for the most rushing yards by a freshman, 1,388 yards, made freshman All-America. In 2007, he was the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year, All-American, 1,586 yards rushing, GMAC Bowl MVP. 2008, another 1,313 yards. 2009, another 1,015 yards. He ends up as the all-time leading rusher at Southern Miss with 5,302 yards. Ninth player in NCAA history, only nine, to rush for 1,000 yards four straight years. Second place school history, all-purpose yards, the number one leading rusher Southern Miss football history. We're happy to welcome Damian Fletcher to the Eagle Eye. Damian, did I forget about anything? I mean, it took me a while there to get through your intro.
I know, man. You rung off some things that I hadn't heard in so long.
No, I tell you one other thing before we get started. I'm going to tell you after reviewing all this, Kelly Center, you can get him. This man needs to be on the Ring of Honor in the football stadium. This man's the all-time leading rusher in Southern Miss proud football history. His name ought to be up there.
And I don't even know what Damian's doing for a living now, but with just that, he deserves a raise.
Yeah, I think so. Give us your boss's phone number after the show, Damian. We'll give him a call. So how are you, man? We appreciate you being on the Eagle Hour.
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It was a pleasant surprise to be able to get back and talk to some Southern Miss guys and everything like that. So I really appreciate it.
So you were like the workhorse here when you were running. Was there ever a time that you just physically were worn down? Because I didn't get into all the carries, but my gosh, you had 1,000-plus carries, I suspect, in your tenure here. How tough is that on a running back?
I mean, volume, it speaks for itself with all the carries. But, I mean, I was pretty durable, so it didn't bother me too much. The guys, you know, the training staff and stuff like that kept me on top of my health as far as keeping me in the training room if I had something going on. So Todd McCall up there did a pretty good job with me.
All right, Luke Johnson's, I think, the second all-time leading punter in Southern Miss history. Here's your chance to talk to the all-time leading rusher, Luke.
Let me tell you what happened with Fletch. So my senior year, we're in a team meeting, and Coach Bauer says, hey, guys, we're joined today here by our newest commit, Damian Fletcher from Biloxi. Stand up, Damian, stand up. And so Damian stood up, and none of us could see him. So all these dudes start saying, we can't even see this guy. How short is he? Where is he in the back? Everybody like, man, that dude ain't going to play. There ain't no way that dude going to play. And then he showed up, and he did nothing but play. I'm sure you remember that, Damian. There was a little chatter going on in the room. It was really funny.
Yeah, it was great, man. Coach Bauer came and personally came down to Biloxi and saw me when I was in high school. I don't know if that's legal or not, but he told me I was going to have a shot to play as a true freshman. And that's one of the main reasons I came to Southern Miss.
1,388 yards as a freshman. Of course, offense changed a little bit under Coach Fedora coming in. But, you know, that was an interesting interesting time. And people forget in 06, we played for the Conference USA Championship. And I guess let's talk about there first. Coming in as a true freshman, playing immediately, and then being part of a run like you guys had in 06. I know that was pretty exciting.
It was, man, and you don't realize how hard it is to get to those championship games. I kind of got spoiled because I didn't get to play in another one my whole time there. So I went my first year, and I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to, you know, just be here and walk to the championship every year. But it's very tough to do. And, the coaches were great, you know, actually getting to there.
I think probably what's tougher than what he did as a freshman is to come back as a sophomore, because as a freshman – you really, to a degree, the element of surprise, right?
Yes.
But the fact that you were coming back year after year, teams prepared then specifically for you, yet you were still able to achieve. Your thoughts on all that, Damian?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe how many reporters, I guess, after my freshman season would always be like, we don't, you know, necessarily think you'd be able to do it next year because you kind of caught everybody by surprise your freshman year. Nobody knew who you were and et cetera. And, I came back and did it again next year, and then they kind of were like, well, you know, maybe they're still not ready. And I did it again. I was like, all right, there's no question now. they stopped asking me after that. There's no more catching people by surprise.
When you were recruited by Coach Bauer, what particular part of your skill set was he most impressed with?
To be honest, I'm not sure. Maybe just my determination, my heart. I know I played every down, even in practice, I was 110%. I was a big practice player, so I practiced like I played, and I think he saw that, and he knew that I was determined to prove a lot of people wrong, and it kind of approached it with a chip on my shoulder, and everything worked out.
And you stayed healthy. That's always a big
piece. That's always a plus.
and with what you did on the field too, Fletch, I imagine you had young ladies, you know, lined up five or six across and six or seven deep.
Yeah. You don't have to answer that, Damian. You don't have to answer that. You can decline. No comment.
We're going to leave that alone.
I think you answered it right there, Damian.
Let me take you back to a game in 2008, and the reason I say this is the same homecoming opponent this weekend, UTEP. You rushed for the second most yards ever in a game, 260 yards your junior year against UTEP. What was so special about that game?
Oh, man, I think we had played UTEP the previous year in UTEP, and I had 200 and something yards rushing on them. I was like, going into the game, I'm like, yeah. You know, I was like, I kind of knew I was going to have a lot of yards. But I didn't expect it to be that many. But I was like, they let me go for 200-plus back-to-back. I was like, thanks, UTEP.
Question. Toughest opponent you ever played against, Fletch? Toughest team that when the game was over, you said, daggum, man, that was a tough game.
Man, believe it or not, it's probably my very first game against Florida, the Gators. I kind of got broken in right off the bat. playing against one of the top defenses to ever play in college, I think. And, man, they beat me up pretty bad. And I was like, man, is this what college football is going to be like? And then, you know, it got kind of easier after that game.
Yeah, from Biloxi High School to the University of Florida, what was the biggest difference in the players that you were competing against from your senior, your last game in high school to the night you played against the Gators?
Oh, man, just the speed and the physicality of the game, it changed. I would say got twice as fast. Everybody got twice as big. The game was much, much faster paced.
See, the difference between the athletes today and the athlete, like he said, after that game with Florida, he said, if this is what college football is all about.
Did they? They probably quit.
Yeah, they'd say, man,
I was like, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, but today they'd say, I'm not playing anymore.
That almost seems unfair to take a young man from high school in the first game. You're running the ball against the Florida Gators because you're getting hit every time you touch the football, right?
That was,
yeah, I'm like 18
was actually
year old. Playing against some 20-something-year-old guys, like grown men. I'm like, oh, Lord.
They won. Yeah, I think they won the national championship that year. It was Tebow's. I think Tebow scored his first
touchdown. They did. It was his first
touchdown.
Game, too, yeah.
Yeah, wow. That was pretty wild, Fletch. But think about, you know, the guys that you played with. McGrath was there with you. Austin Davis was there with you. DeAndre Brown was there with you. So many of those guys that kind of led up. We saw the run again in 2011. 2010 was real close. But you were a part there with 08 and 09 specifically with the transition. And I guess I would ask you that in the last question for me. What was the transition like between Coach Bauer and Coach Fedora? I mean, I know a lot of guys have different perspectives on that. It was a different culture, a different offense. But how did you take that as kind of one of the leaders on the team?
Like you said, it was to me, it was night and day. There were two completely different coaches. One was very offensive-minded. One was more finesse. The other one was more like old school and defensive-minded kind of. Not to say he wasn't offensive-minded as well. But just two completely different things. We went to from a pro style to a spread offense. I mean, we just kind of had to adjust and adapt to the new coach. They were completely different in my eyes.
Hey, Damian, if you got a few minutes, can you hang through the break with us and stick around with us a little while longer?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'd love to get your observations about college football today. About the Southern Miss program today, and our listeners always love hearing what our former athletes are doing. So we're going to continue the show with Damian Fletcher, all-time leading rusher in Southern Miss football history, Kelly Thamel.
I'm looking at your sheet, Bob, and it's like Santa Claus's list.
This wasn't everything, brother. I just wrote down the highlights. I could have done two sheets. I think I could have provided the longest introduction of any guest we've ever had with Damian Fletcher.
Did you put my Connerly in there?
No, let me write that down right now. What year was that, Damian?
I think it was my sophomore year.
I apologize for overlooking that, but
the man has rushed for more yards in his college career than Bo Jackson, Earl Campbell, Eric Dickerson, Marshall Faulk, Marcus Allen, Darren McFadden, and Thurman Thomas.
Those guys were
Miss Golden Eagle.
All right, Damian, is that enough? You want me to do a little more research during the break?
No, man.
All right.
Hey, just perfect, man.
We're talking to Damian Fletcher. He's going to continue with us on the Eagle Hour right after this.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
We're back on a Thursday. Happy to have you along with us on the Eagle Hour. If you're catching us live, appreciate you taking your lunch break and joining us. If you're listening to this later, we hope that you will continue to listen to us on podcast form. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can listen to the Eagle Hour on demand anytime. SupertalkHattiesburg.com, SupertalkLaurel.com. We appreciate our sponsors like 4th Street. They sponsor us, our third segment of the show, every single day, $8.95 lunch, fried catfish Friday. Tomorrow, Bob Getty gives that a two thumbs up. Although, Kelly Sander, he never joins us. But anyway, Bob approves this.
Somebody's
got to do the hard work. Yeah, somebody has to work. Anyway, 4th Street Bar and Grill, proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour. It is the full gang today from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. We are joined again by Damian Fletcher, the greatest running back in the history of Southern Miss. And I guess, Damian, just to open up again, we were talking about how all these washed-up scrubs like Bo Jackson and Earl Campbell and Marcus Allen, you were better than them. But when you think about in the context of Southern Miss, Go-Go Gary, Sam DeJarnette. Thank you. DeJarnette. Yeah. D-Nix, whom I played with. Tony Smith. All these guys
were exceptional.
Sammy Wander. Thank you. Yeah. And you're at the top of those guys. I mean, how does that make you feel sometimes when you reflect on that?
Hey, I have to say, statistically, I'm atop those guys. Coach Nix was my running back coach my first year there. And I was like, damn, I got some shoes to fill. This guy, he was an absolute monster. Even when he was coaching me, man, you could look him up and down and be like, man, that is a beast right there. And I was able to go back and look at some of his film. And if he would have stayed healthy, there's no doubt he is probably the greatest running back that came through Southern Miss, no lie, in my eyes.
Yeah, he was exceptional. And you know, Kelly, that is a pretty impressive list. Bob, that is a pretty impressive list
right. That
we just rattled off. Southern Miss, when you look back historically, how good the running backs have been.
No question about that. Damian, you played, you were recruited by Jeff Bauer. You played for Jeff Bauer and pre-Coach Fedora. I just wonder, what was the vibe on that team? I know as a fan, in those days, we were so confident that we felt like our team could beat anybody anywhere in the country, and we traveled to watch that. But what was what was the atmosphere like on a Jeff Bauer football team?
Man, you hit it on the head. It was anyone, anywhere, anytime. We didn't care your record, who you had on your team, who the coach was, who the star player was. We're coming in, and we're coming in hard. Like, we're coming to win. Like, we're not there to lay down or play a money game. We're coming to win. So the atmosphere was very much hard. Like, I would say, like, just hardcore. Like, it was like we're coming to play to win. Like, we're going to play the nasty bunch. We're playing nasty on defense. We're going to hit you in the mouth. And then that was one of the things. Like, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth, you know. So
right. You
can have all these great players and think you're better than us, but we're going to come in and play hard and hit you every single play.
Luke made a point to me a couple of weeks ago about the current football program, and Luke played on those types of teams, of course, that you're talking about. And he said mm-hmm. The kids today probably don't have an understanding of that. I mean, they don't have the confidence that you guys had because they haven't had the experiences that you guys had, and I include Luke in that group. You think there's a lot to that? I mean, you got to know what it's like to feel like you can beat anybody. Am I right?
Yes, yeah, it's carried over by the older guys, like the seniors and some of the leaders on the team. That the atmosphere, the culture, that it comes from essentially from. It's something you can't be taught. You have to kind of go through it, and that leadership is instilled in you, and then you pass it on to these younger guys, and it's kind of contagious, and it just rolls over into the next year. But if you don't have it, then there's nothing to go off of.
Continuing our discussion with former Southern Miss running back Damian Fletcher. Fletcher, we mentioned in the commercial break, we were discussing about how you were glad that you played when you did because there was not the distraction that there is today with social media. Tell us more about how you feel about all that.
Man, I don't know how some of these guys focus with all the different types of social medias and the TikToks and Instagram and all these different things. It's to me, man, that takes a lot away from, like me, I was big in the film room and studying and stuff like that. I don't see how these guys focus when you got all these different dances to learn and all this catchy stuff that all the kids are into, and I'm sure that they're into. But, yeah, I don't know how they focus.
And what makes it different as well is back when you were playing, news media was more pristine in the fact that they reported facts and didn't just go off on tangents and just saying anything they wanted to say. And I would imagine as a player, you wanted, if you were going to be criticized or praised, that it was legitimate.
Yes, definitely. I feel like that that's a form of bullying if they're coming and they're saying negative things or things that aren't true that can really affect a player or a team if it's misinformation.
And I'm sure that there are a lot of listeners are going, man, with all these numbers, you know, he had to have landed somewhere in the NFL. Just tell us real quick. You mentioned it really didn't work out with the Rams, but you just weren't a good fit for that system. Tell us a little more.
Yeah, I got my shot with a team, and it wasn't the right fit for me, and that comes into effect. It's a big effect on a lot of players. You have to be in the right system at the right time. You know, if you're not, you only got a short window to try to, you know, get in there and find another team or whatnot. So, yeah, this didn't pan out for me.
Yeah, well, see, if you would have been taken by the Bengals, you'd have fit because they stunk and could have used any help, you know.
Right, yeah, but definitely. If I'd have went to a team that, you know, it was a little more, use a third down backer, which is very, very common now. The game has changed a lot since I played.
Right.
A guy like me I think I would have did well in today's league.
All right. Luke, you got anything else for Damian before we let him go?
Yeah, Damian, when we were going through the list, somehow we did manage to overlook the 2007 Connerly Trophy, which I think is probably the greatest accomplishment that you had at Southern Miss. I mean, other than, you know, being the all-time rushing running back and with touchdowns and all that, I mean, to represent Southern Miss on the statewide level and to be selected as the greatest football player for that year in the state of Mississippi. I mean, going back, and that was only in your sophomore year, what did it mean for you at the time? And then, you know, as you look back now, over a decade later, what does it mean for you now?
Yeah, man, it really meant a lot to be able to represent Southern Miss and my teammates. And by that time, we kind of knew Coach Bauer was on his way out. So for him to have a player win that, you know, on his way out, I'm glad I was able to do that for him as well. Because he meant a lot to me and bringing me to Southern Miss. So that's by far my favorite accolade.
Yeah, and well-deserved, and I apologize for overlooking that.
And what made that big, too, is I think everybody kind of acknowledges there tends to, in the voting for the Connerly Trophy, right, there's a bias toward Ole Miss and Mississippi State.
It means a lot to Southern Miss fans when our guys win.
Of course, yeah. Because the deck is stacked a little bit against them to begin with.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, one last question before we let you go, Damian. If we can contact the NCAA and get you a COVID season, would you be willing to come back and play?
I'm down. I'm feeling safe, baby. No, I'm kidding. Not going to pass out on the first play.
I am I'm not in shape, Bob, but if while you're asking for Damian, if they can get me another one,
I'll check into that for you too, Luke. I did see you run that 40-yard dash.
I was going to say, but they'll only give it to you if you can run a 5.1 for
it. Now, let's ask real quick. Let's ask. Okay, I'm a 38-year-old washed-up heavyweight, and you know what position I play, Damian. On air on the Eagle Hour in May, I ran a 5.240. Now, I know that might not mean anything to Getty and Santer, but, I mean, just comments, instruct them about how difficult that is.
Hey, that's good, man. Shoot, 38 running the 5.2, bro. You're moving. You're rolling.
Oh, it was a sight to behold, I'll tell you that.
He didn't give you the other part, though. He couldn't walk for 2 weeks afterwards, Dave. He forgets about that part, yeah.
Hey, oh, yeah.
Real quick, before we let you go, folks love to know where our guys are and what they're doing. Where are you, Damian, and what's going on in your life these days?
I'm down in D'Iberville, Mississippi. I'm between there and New Orleans. Got two kids now, 5 and 10, daughter and a son. And I actually own the candy shop. I don't know if y'all seen a couple in Hattiesburg area, but those are my CBD stores.
Oh, okay.
So go check them out.
I got you. All right, Damian. Hey, great conversation. Great pleasure having you on the show. I want you to know, man, you are welcome on the Eagle Hour just anytime.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Damian Fletcher, everybody, the all-time leading rusher. You know, I did overlook that about the Connerly Trophy, but you guys are right. When a Southern Miss kid wins the Connerly Trophy, they're so much damn better than everybody else in the state. They just have no choice but to give it to them.
Yeah, because, and you know, I'm sure the Connerly voters would dispute what I said, that, oh, no, everything is on the up and up. But, I mean, it doesn't take, as my dad would say, a rocket surgeon to figure that out, right. That state don't miss.
The people in charge of that this year, remember, couldn't even get Arvin Fletcher's position right. Couldn't even get his side of the ball right. He was listed as an outside linebacker. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Damian Fletcher, great interview, great personality. We had a lot of fun with him off the air. as well as on the air.
But I got to tell you, last time he was in town, you know, we got together and talked a little bit, and I mentioned to some of the other college students that were in the crowd, I said, "Do you know who that is right there?" And they said, "No, who?" And I said, "Damian Fletcher."
They go,
Crickets. He was only here 10 years ago, and they didn't know who he was.
We're forgotten. They don't remember us.
We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Great time with Damian Fletcher, former Southern Miss running back, and great time just reliving some of those. And again, the 2007 Connerly Award winner for Southern Miss. Only four Eagles have won that. Rod Davis, Michael Boley, Damian Fletcher, and Austin Davis. And so appreciate Damian's time today for segment brought to you by the previously mentioned DBAT and D1 Training. Help me run a 5240. Can help you also. They're located on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke, Bob, and Kelly from the First Bank Studios in Hattiesburg. And Laurel, excited tomorrow, guys. Fall practice for baseball opens up. They'll have 6 weeks on the practice schedule this fall, looking to go after a sixth consecutive 40-win season, 18th NCAA appearance. I know we're excited about that. Big show tomorrow, Bob. Scott Berry will be there on the opening day of practice as we enter a football homecoming weekend. But to talk more about fall practice, Scott Berry on the Eagle Hour tomorrow.
No question. Two-hour Eagle Hour tomorrow, 1 to 3 o'clock. We appreciate TeleSouth giving us that extra hour. We'll be broadcasting in Midtown outside of Fuzzy's Taco Shop. Should be beautiful weather for that. Coach Scott Berry, as Luke said on the show, Reggie Collier on the show, Justin Harris, the owner of Fuzzy's, Melissa Socher with a really big announcement about something very special that the Eagle Hour is really happy to be a part of. And booked just this afternoon, Big Nasty Jim Carmody on the show tomorrow too, Kelly. It's going to be a lot of fun.
He is alive and well and as sharp as he ever was. And it's great to get perspective now, you know, from some of those guys who were so intimidating, you know, back in the day.
No question. So we're really looking forward to that. Hope you can tune in tomorrow. If you're in the area, stop by. The guys will be right outside, and we're going to have Caleb Hamill's going to be with you producing and co-hosting, and I'll be here in the studio. We're going to have to work on this. You guys are at all the restaurants having fun, and I'm back here.
Carrying the load. You're the boss.
Under another circumstances, yeah, I would have Mergens here producing this show, but he's on vacay, so we don't want to interrupt his vacation.
But Luke, you were talking about those Connerly Award winners, and only four from Southern Miss, and it's interesting because Damian Fletcher's numbers are the ones that really jump out, but it was the other three that had good NFL careers, long NFL careers, and achieved at the very highest level. I think that's kind of interesting that Damian Fletcher was talking about it's all about the fit. You know, it's not necessarily about the numbers.
It is. And Fletch would have, he said this, Fletch would have been a very, very, very good third down back in today's game. Because in college he was able to be a bell cow back. You know, and one of the things, and he even has admitted it, he didn't have top-end elite speed. He was a high 4.5, low 4.6 guy, somewhere in that area. And so he was I think he said this before, and I've heard other people say, within 20 yards, he was the quickest guy on the field. He was the fastest guy on the field. I've rarely seen somebody with the type of balance that he had. And, you know, of course, everybody remembers him jumping over – defensive backs. But yeah, just it was one of those things where, just like when you look back with Reggie Collier, you know, had he been born, you know, or played 15 to 20 years later, I know Reggie doesn't like to think about that, but you know, he would have revolutionized the game then. And so Fletch would have been in today's game, he would have been extraordinary third down back. And this is something else, just to mention how dominant he was at Southern Miss. So right now he's 15th all time in rushing in NCAA history. Okay, NCAA history. When he got done at Southern Miss, he was ninth. And there's actually been five guys from 2010 onward that have passed him up. But Damian Fletcher from Southern Miss, 15th all time. Ito Smith is 61st all time. So in the top 61 rushers in NCAA history, too, from Southern Miss.
But the fact that everybody, you know, just from memory, thinks of how great Ito Smith was, and he was, but he's 61st.
Yeah, and I'm going to make this point about Damian Fletcher, too. I think it's fair to say he played in an era where we didn't see all this spread offense so
much.
And so people defensively were more geared towards stopping the run in those days, and he still accomplished those numbers.
Yeah, 15th in the country. Boy, I didn't – once again, Luke, our numbers guy, comes up with really good stuff.
In history. There was – his senior year was actually – He only rushed for right over 1,000 yards, but 1,388, 1,586, 1,313. He averaged, for his career, y'all, he averaged over 5 yards a carry. On top of that, he had 900 yards receiving, 46 total touchdowns, 44 on the ground in 4 years at Southern Miss.
And he was not a big guy, okay? Remember, Luke was telling the story about, you know, stand up. Well, he didn't. Nobody saw him. So a great champion of how hard you work and how big your heart is, you know, that you can't accomplish it.
He showed him, didn't he?
He sure did.
Tell that man to stand up. That man ain't going to play here. That man's too short.
Well, he wasn't. And
Coach Bauer, why are you recruiting that man? Everybody we got is taller than that man.
Well, the numbers speak for themselves. The numbers
Absolutely.
Don't lie.
Great interview. We really appreciate Damian coming on the show. Also want to thank Brian Morrison. Very informative interview. Hope you'll join us tomorrow. 2-hour edition of the Eagle Hour. That's pretty rare. We're looking forward to it. And until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Time keeps on slipping into the future. Slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.